It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Coyotes live all across the continent, and we can find them in every part of Wisconsin. They build burrows into the ground and use tree stumps and other secluded spaces for their dens. And when they venture out in the fall and winter, they can travel more than 100 miles looking for new territory. Coyotes thrive in the wilderness, but they're also in our state's urban areas, and they've moved within Madison's city limits. Steve Gotcher joined a group of scientists in the field studying the animals. Here's what he found in this glimpse into Wisconsin life.
Just after sunrise on a chilly late November morning, I'm among a group of UW-Madison students as part of a study of coyotes in an urban environment. The goal is to understand how coyotes and humans coexist in the city. We're hoping to catch a coyote in one of the locations around Madison's west side, find out about its overall health, and fit the animal with a radio collar to study its movements throughout the town. The sparse snow cover crunches underfoot as our guide,
Sarah Julia Garza. I am a PhD student assisting Dr. David Drake with the Urban Canid Project here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Leads the way down a path at the Lakeshore Nature Preserve.
So we've got a bait pile set out over here. By bait pile, I mean a deer carcass that somebody killed, and it was on the side of the road, basically. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go into this area here. We're going to walk single file so as to minimize our impact on the area, and we'll check the sites, and hopefully we'll be catching something. And let's all go in.
By examining a coyote up close, researchers will be able to study pack territoriality, movement patterns throughout the city, what their food sources are, any diseases they may be carrying, and...
In this environment, I imagine people will be more concerned about the interactions of the urban canids and their own pets.
The trail snakes through the woods and then opens on a small meadow. Patches of crunchy snow dot the area with tufts of dead prairie grass swaying in the gentle breeze. A desiccated deer carcass lays in the center of the clearing with orange flags dotting the area, marking where the traps are situated.
It's a cable restraint trap. It's the same mechanism as a dog's choke collar.
A quick search of the area reveals...
Oh, got some tracks. All right, so here we have here's our bait pile. And it looks like none of the traps have an animal in it, unfortunately, so...
We head back to the cars and make our way to the second site in the UW Arboretum, just west of the visitor center in Curtis Prairie. A sea of tall grass rustles in the light breeze under the gray overcast. As the morning progresses, the temperature slowly drops below freezing.
Anyway, we've got two sites here, and similar setup as before with the cable restraints. One of them, I'm going to ask you guys to kind of stay on the main path and away from it while I go check it out, because we're trying to minimize our impact on it. And the other one is more in a heavily trafficked area, so we can all definitely take a look at the drop site.
A well-used hiking trail parallels the road leading to the Arboretum Visitor Center before it turns, heading deeper into the prairie.
Now, yesterday when we checked these traps, we saw quite a lot of tracks indicating high activity, but nobody had gotten in the traps, so.
Just off the path, set back in the prairie grass, is the site we hope will hold a captured coyote.
So we're trying to catch two animals here in the Arboretum, because the pack territoriality, you can see right here from the side, we got that flag right there.
Yeah.
And you can actually see the bait pile from here. Holy cow, we have an animal. Oh my goodness, okay, I'm texting Drake right now. All right, we're going to back off.
Within 30 minutes, veterinary students arrive on the scene, along with lead researcher
David Drake. I'm an extension wildlife specialist and professor in the Department of Forest Wildlife Ecology, and I'm what's called the principal investigator for this project.
We come in with a pole noose, and we just slip a pole noose around the animal's head to control the head to make sure that it can't swing around and bite us as we hand-inject a double sedative in the back leg. And so that's what we did. And once we get the sedative injected, then we'll back off for about 10 minutes, let the sedative work, and then we'll go back in to see how sedated the animal is. And once the animal's comfortably sedated and we're comfortable that the animal's sedated enough, then we'll go and we'll start processing the animal and work the animal up.
The sedated coyote is brought out from the trap site and placed on a tarp spread out on the trail. The animal is still somewhat awake, so to keep it calm, a towel is placed over its head.
We coordinate with the vet students so that vet students who are interested in perhaps some aspect of wildlife vet medicine, they get an opportunity and some experience handling wild animals. And the vet students are just so much adept at, taking the health samples than we are. So it's good experience for them, and it's tremendously helpful for us, and it's just much more efficient for us.
A small group of vet students surround the young female coyote on their hands and knees, and the examination begins, led by
Emily Gregg, and I'm one of the coordinators for the Urban Canid Project.
So we're checking for fleas with this flea comb. And we're taking vitals, so temperature, respiratory rate, and heart rate. We will be taking a nasal swab and a rectal swab, and then a fecal sample as well.
When all the samples have been taken and the animal is weighed, ours was 31 pounds, it's fitted with a radio collar and color-coded ear tags. The crew works quickly and efficiently, and the entire process takes just over 30 minutes to complete. After an injection is given to reverse the sedative, the group packs up and heads to the parking lot. A couple of observers stay behind and watch as the animal slowly stirs, looks around, cautiously gets up, and takes a few halting steps. Soon the effects of the sedative wear off and the young female is seen trotting down the trail into the prairie.
So now what we'll do is that collar is turned on, and starting at 9 o'clock tonight, that collar will start communicating with the satellite. Mm-hmm. Satellites, and for the rest of that collar's life, for the rest of that animal's life, we'll hopefully get 8 fixes a night on that animal to see where it's going.
The UW Urban Canid Project is in its 6th year of research. To find out more, go to our website at WPR.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Steve Gotcher.
And Wisconsin Life celebrates what makes this place we call home unique. We bring you diverse stories that are funny and that are surprising and thought-provoking. You can hear Wisconsin Life every week across the Ideas Network. Coming up, tens of thousands of Americans are labeled missing. But research shows that missing white women get a disproportionate amount of media coverage. We learn why other segments of the population get overlooked, and we want to hear from you on this. Are you a relative or a friend of someone who went missing, but they didn't get as much media coverage as you had expected or had hoped for? Help us understand what that experience was like at 800-642-1234. Do you think the disparity in coverage between white people and people of color is something that news outlets should be blamed for? Or is it us, news consumers, who are the issue? Why do you think white women tend to get more media attention than other segments of the population? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network.